Bill Bausch, who is a wonderful pastor, one of the great pastors of this country for many, many years, now retired, continues to write and to reflect on the scriptures. And he wrote a very beautiful piece about this gospel and about this day. And I'd like to begin with just this small little reflection from him today. It talks about a custom that was regular and pervasive during the Middle Ages. At that time, monks and most of the populace could neither read nor write. And so every morning in monasteries and in chapels across the land, many would come and meet around a Bible. It would be opened. And in the silence, they would just sit and wait for the word to be spoken and read aloud. The one who could read would slowly tell the story of God, some little portion of that scripture, his word, reading a single passage clearly so that all could hear. He would finish. He would stand in silence before that book, bend in homage, and then back away from the stand with the book and stand at a slight distance. After a period of quiet, he would then approach the book again, and he would reread that same passage. He would do this again and again, until all had departed and there was no one left to listen to that word of the Lord. Each monk, each visitor left when they had secured what they needed to reflect on for that day. The word invaded their minds, their hearts, their bodies, and they took it with them into their work, into their study, into their interactions, as well as their prayer. With the word within them firmly rooted, they were ready to live in the Spirit and to let that word transform their flesh, their blood, every person they met. St. Augustine, our great co-patron of this parish, says that the word of God was first conceived. Think of this language. The word of God was first conceived in Mary's ear. Somehow she heard that word of the angel Gabriel. And when she heard the word, somehow it touched her heart. It became a part of her thinking and her praying. And then somehow it became enfleshed in her womb. And I think that's what we, you and I, are given as a thought and a reflection today. I would even suggest once you get the word, then leave. Get out of here. Go out and change this world. Receive that word first in your ear, then in your heart, and ultimately and finally let it seep deep inside you so that this week, this holiest of weeks of the year, as we prepare for the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, God's word will take flesh in your hearts, in your lives, in your world, in your families, in those you meet. I had a startling revelation this week. I was given this book by a good friend, Bill Simon, who's written a book on lay ministry. Just finished the book. He's a friend of Bob Buford's, who does a lot of work with the evangelical church across this country. And as you know, the evangelical church is rooted in the Word of God. And over the years, they have been incredibly successful in their outreach to those who have left the Roman church, for those who are unchurched, and for just many people who gather in these great churches across this land. The three that are probably the most predominant preachers, ministers today are Bill Hybel from that great Willow Creek Church in Inverness near Chicago, Joel Osteen in Houston, Texas, and of course our own good Rick Warren here in Orange County. And Bob Buford really is the one that helped to create those ministries and those people. He's worked hard with them. Well, Bill Hybels, about 3 or 4 years ago, was sitting on a Sunday morning in his church, a church that attracts 25,000 people every Sunday to Willow Creek. 25,000 people. And he said he was sitting in his sanctuary with his wife, and people were pouring in from all over the Chicago area. And he said the question that began to gnaw at him, the question that began to haunt him, was what difference does it make? They have this beautiful edifice. If you go to Willow Creek, it looks like a university. It's gigantic what they have created. He has hundreds and hundreds of ministries. His preaching, Bill Hybels' preaching, is the best in the land. He's a tremendous preacher. His music is incredible. I went there and I remember meeting just a hospitality guy. And I said to him, you know, the old pastor's question, what kind of a collection do you get on Sunday? And this guy pulls out of his pocket all of the statistics of everything that's going on in that community. I mean, they are organized. But Bill said on that Sunday morning, he had a fear come over him. His fear was, with this 25,000 people every Sunday, what's the impact? What was that word doing, not only in the ear, not only in the heart, but in the very soul, in the fiber of his people? So they took a survey. And he said when he finished with the survey, he was heartsick. He was astounded because what he thought was this huge success was in fact struggling. And they did that survey since to 250,000 evangelical churches across this nation. And they produced this little book that I'm reading, Move. Let me give you just a little sample. They talk about how a church like Hybels falls in relationship to effectiveness. Now, many would suggest you can't calibrate a heart. You can't calibrate what we're doing here. But this is what he says. A high percentage of those who were tested are still surprisingly inactive. For example, his church, even though 80% said strongly, we love God more than anything. That's like everyone saying, you know, I really want to be thin. We all say that. 80% said, we love God more than anything. And yet 1/3 do not serve the church. And 50% never serve on any regular basis those who have far less. In the past year at his church, 60% had fewer than 6 spiritual conversations with non-believers. And 80% invited fewer than six people to his church. 40% did not tithe. That's amazing to me. I don't even know if we even think about that. A conversation with a non-believer. An invitation to someone who's been distanced or separated. Do we ever invite anyone to our family, to our community? I don't know what the survey would say here. I'd be interested. And I'm not saying this today because I think I don't know anything. I don't know. But I'm wondering. I'm wondering today along with you. Where are we on the spectrum? This is what he said the spectrum looks like. Those who explore Christ. Those who are growing in Christ. Those who are close to Christ. And then finally, those who are Christ-centered. I don't know where I am on this spectrum. I'm probably all four. Some days I explore, some days I'm growing, some days I feel close to Christ. And once in a great while, he's central to my life. But this was the secret for me. The survey is called Reveal. And he says that they have diverse personalities and styles of leadership in all of the churches that they surveyed. From quiet and reserved to self-assured and commanding pastors. But they share one key attribute. Listen to this, folks. The key attribute. The key attribute was, if a church is to be successful, if a community is to hear God's word, if a community is to be a disciple of Jesus Christ and centered, then, he says, the leadership must be unrelenting, uncompromising in his or her focus and drive to help grow people into disciples of Jesus Christ. Disciples of Jesus Christ. So my brothers and sisters, I'm with you. I don't know. I'm not sure. But I do know that the gospel and the challenge of this week is to hear that word. To take the word of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To somehow allow that word in the busyness and in the turbulence of our time and our age. To let it enter into our hearts. And then somehow to let that be enfleshed in our lives. In lives in which it makes a difference how I treat you, a difference in how I invite people, a difference in which I feel the urgency to bring our Lord and Savior of Jesus Christ to people who are wandering the face of this earth, and out of that making the decisions that we need to make to live our lives with our families. In peace and in strength. And so I thank you for allowing me this moment just to share a little of this book called Move, to reflect with you the questions that we all face, I think, as a nation, as a people, and certainly as a church. And I wish you today, in a special way, that when the thousands and thousands of people who come to St. Monica's this next Saturday, from 4 o'clock in the afternoon until 2 o'clock the next morning, thousands of people will be here. That we will welcome them. That we will do our very best, not only to welcome them, but to challenge them. Challenge each other. To let that powerful word, save us and guide us. And I would add that the best that I could suggest to you is that, like the evangelical church, we are rooted and based on that holy word, but we have a second gift. Our gift is Eucharist. And that gift of the Eucharist we can celebrate and be nourished and be strengthened any day that we choose it. That holy gift of the bread from heaven, literally the body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How can we miss? How could we not change? How could we not be loving disciples? Loving disciples who help to change and transform this world. Amen.